Hello there, this is Laurel. You've reached the Laurel Langmire Show. I want to thank you for joining us today. And as you all know, we've been doing this show every Monday, where we're bringing to you fresh topics, new status of the economy and what's going on in the news and what you should listen to, what you should not listen to. And if you have any questions at any time, email Laurel at Laurel Radio. That's L-O-R-A-L radio at liveoutloud.com at any time. And we will be sure to get right back to you, answer those questions, bring them to the call. And if you have questions about where you are stuck as an entrepreneur not making money, let us know that as well. Some of the topics of today: make lemonade. Like, how do you really make lemonade out of this sour economic news? Anybody can sit around and spout the predictions and what the bad statistics are and what's going on and why it's not working, what BP is going to do to help clean up the economy down south, and what Washington's going to do. But the truth is, what are you going to do? And why are you caring and giving them the time of day? The real truth is that you can make your own economy in this economy. We are at the lowest real estate rates, lowest interest rates, extraordinary times to buy. There is a big myth that you can't get lending. The lending laws have just shifted again, great low interest rates, and with proper credit and cash, anybody can buy right now. So many of you say, well, I've tangled that all up. Well, then that's where you come to Live Out Loud and you learn to make some proper partnerships and figure out how to get it done. There are many, many folks buying real estate that have no credit and cash, and it takes partnership to handle that. So the question is, what are you doing today as an entrepreneur to make it happen, regardless of the economy? At the beginning of this year, we said, you know, turnaround 2010 is our theme, and we are seeing it slowly. There are 7 indicators we've been watching, and many of them are starting to turn, but again, very, very slowly. You have to take action now. The faster you take action, the faster opportunities, and the more available for opportunities that you're going to be seeing that are out there. You know, some great new places that you need to be looking to is in broken franchises and broken businesses. Many of them have thrown themselves to the bankruptcy curb, and there are databases to buy, there are systems to buy, there's intellectual property to buy. So if you don't like the real estate side, the business side is just as lucrative, and the opportunities are very abundant. And where you go for them is usually bankruptcy lawyers, believe it or not. They are sitting as trustees on enormous, enormous asset base that can be bought for 10 cents on the dollar. So a lot of opportunity is going on right now, and thousands of people are making money right now. And if you're stuck in the doom and the gloom, then it's time to shift. Mortgage lenders repossessed 92,000 properties last month, up 9% from June and 6% from July. More than 1 million American households are expected to be repossessed this year. And this is kind of the final year of when those ARMs and some of the creative financing runs out for many homeowners. And they're going to have to either get refinanced or figure this out. Or again, those on the opposite side of that conversation, the investors, are going to have an enormous amount to buy. And some of these markets are taking a second run, because the earlier investors who got in can't hold, the rents aren't there, and they're selling again, even one cut below. I know in some of the Phoenix markets, some people who have bought at $50,000 thinking they're getting a deal are having to turn them back in now on the market for $25,000 to $30,000, some of these homes. So opportunities everywhere. The question is, what are you doing about it? And it's really time to sit and be very serious, make some decisions about your plan, and join us at Live Out Loud in our conversations about cash so we can help you organize that. The Google Android operating system is taking over the iPhone's iOS systems. The Android used 17.2% of all smartphones worldwide, says market researchers, while the iPhone OS system is only using 14% of the smartphones. So the Android is changing. It's going to be a big game changer as we watch. And in the last few shows, we've been talking about your phone becoming your credit card, your phone having your thumbprint, your being able to buy so much stuff in the new technology and operate that way. So we have a lot we're going to continue to talk about and say. And at some point, I'm going to bring on some of my team, and we're going to talk about how this is really going to play out, because the privacy issues, the confidential issues that are on the internet, and who's really going to be running and driving the content on the internet. It's just a big conversation we all got to be having. And are you just, again, letting it happen to you, or are you getting a voice about it? So on the Laurel Langmire Show coming up, we're going to be talking about some Google plugins. We're going to be talking about the FCC and, again, regulation on the internet, how that's going to be occurring. We're going to be talking about again, some other economic trends that are moving and some places you need to be looking as well. What I want to do right now is I'm going to switch over to our interview of our weekly show and the Laurel Langmark Show. We're always bringing great entrepreneurs to you with some great immediate things you can execute to put more cash in your pocket today. Eric Lofholm is with me today. He's a master sales trainer who has trained tens of thousands of sales professionals worldwide. He is the president and CEO of Eric Lofholm International, an organization he founded to serve the needs of sales professionals worldwide. Began his career as a top-producing sales rep for three different sales organizations. His consistent track record of regular outperforming his fellow sales reps earned him a reputation of success that follows him today. He's been trained by the top trainers, such as Tony Robbins and Dr. Moyne, as well as countless others. Many of the top companies hire him regularly to train, motivate, and inspire their sales teams. Eric was a client of mine at the big table. We've been a client of his training our sales teams, and Eric, welcome to Laurel Langmark Show.
Laurel, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. It's really fun. We're going to be together in Las Vegas in the next few days. So if you're somewhere within a couple hundred mile radius of Las Vegas, come join us on Wednesday. We'll be there from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock talking to you about how to put more cash in your pocket. And Eric's going to be talking about sales. Eric, let's talk about becoming a sales trainer in the new economy. Like, what's different now with all the techniques that are kind of proven and tried and true sales techniques? What's different in 2010 and going forward?
Well, a couple of things that have shifted. People's buying habits have changed. People's ability to pay has changed. And so how we sell to folks has fundamentally changed for many of us. But the most important thing is that people are still buying. There's billions of people, and they're still buying every single day. What's shifted for many people, though, is and what sells is what always sells, which is value. And that's what's shifted for a lot of people, is what do they perceive as valuable? And you look at the car industry, and the hot car a couple of years ago was the SUV. And people now no longer view the SUV with the same value level. They're looking at hybrids and smart cars and green cars and fuel efficiency. So one tip that you all can take from the first part of my message today is looking at your customer and what do they perceive as valuable in today's marketplace, and then how can you match your presentation and your product offering to what your customer perceives as valuable.
That's good. And then I want to have you deepen that, what their ability to pay. So are you noticing that a lot of your sales processes and trainings, that a lot of the companies you're working with are moving towards payment plans, different credit options, financing options, given what we've seen gone on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for what I sell, I rely on my customers paying with a credit card, and their credit card limits have dried up or been reduced, or in some cases they don't have access to credit cards anymore. So I think that being creative with payment options is very important, and also really upping the perceived value in the mind of your prospect for what you're offering. And those are some really important things to take a look at. And if you can make adjustments to match your offerings with what people want right now, you can make an absolute fortune right now.
I would agree. Let's talk about, many people are so uncomfortable selling or asking for the money. What tips do you have for people right now that are listening to solve that problem?
Well, some of you listening, you may have a resistance to sales. It may be uncomfortable for you to ask for the money or ask for the order. And, you know, that's really the old way of thinking. There's a stigma in our culture to selling. And if you look at that stigma and why we believe the negative beliefs that so many people have about selling, the reason we believe that is you were trained to think that way. My 8-year-old son, if he was on the call with us right now, I would say to him, Brandon, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he would say, I want to be a salesman like you, Dad. So I trained him to have a positive belief about sales. Unfortunately, the majority of the people in the world have been trained to have a negative belief about sales. That's really the old way of thinking, because if you have a resistance to selling, in this economy, it's challenging enough. And if you add on top of that negative beliefs about selling, you're just compounding the problem. So what I would encourage all of you to do is to be open to the idea of embracing sales. And the new way of thinking is that selling equals service. Sell from honesty, integrity, and compassion. Selling is about leading. Selling is about moving people to action. So it's a shift in thinking, and it's being open to the idea of embracing sales. And if you can do that and have this new way of looking at sales, all kinds of new possibilities can open up for you.
And I love that, because I think selling is service. And when you get the distinction, you know, one of the things I tell people there, because they say, if, you know, what, as I'm teaching them a cash machine, and, you know, I do that, you know, that portion on sales in there. And, you know, I'll ask them what their cash machine is, what their business is, and are they serving others? And, you know, I take a pretty harsh spin if I think it's a ripoff if they don't do anything, if they don't do anything about it, and they know that there's a service that they can provide, because there's buying power out there. It's who's claiming it right now. And in that, what do you see as the distinctions between those who are really getting it done and making a profit and moving forward? Is it really that they've embraced the service model, or is it, I mean, because a lot of people look at that and say, well, they just got sheer guts. I mean, we know it's more than that.
Well, for me, I mean, I'll just share a quick thing in my business. I used to view myself as being in the seminar industry. And the seminar industry in many ways is dried up. So I had to shift my company, take my skill sets, and look at what are people buying today. And I went from being in the seminar business to being in the online training world. And so now 90% of my training is delivered via the internet. And so this is something you talk about as well. It's like, look at your skill sets. And then use your mind and be creative and look at how you can offer your skill sets to match what people are looking to buy today. And it may require that you reinvent yourself. That's what I had to do in my business. And we're now more profitable in my company than we were 2 years ago when the economy was rocking, because we've matched what people are looking to buy with what it is that we're now offering.
That's good. And I think, aren't you finding that those, there's just a lot of people who haven't shifted. Number one, they haven't surveyed their folks enough to find that value. And they're just holding on to old models. I mean, that's what I'm seeing with a lot of our students. They're just holding on to stuff that does not work.
Yeah, I think a simple thing that everybody could do that's listening right now. Years ago, I worked with Tony Robbins, and he teaches that your brain will answer virtually any question you ask yourself. If you find yourself stuck right now or in fear, panic, and worry over the economy, ask yourself this question, and I ask myself this question on a regular basis. Where are my best opportunities right now? And when you start focusing on that, all of a sudden, all these opportunities present themselves. And anytime I ask myself that question right now, I'll come up with a list of 20 great opportunities that are right there within my grasp. And I'm going to suggest that every one of you listening, there are great opportunities right there within your grasp if you'll just simply ask yourself that question.
Love that. Love that. Now, talk about the sales mountain. What is this sales mountain?
Sales Mountain is a process that I developed after being in sales for about 10 years. I've been in commission sales now for the last 17 years, and for a little more than a decade, I've been teaching salespeople all over the world how to be more effective. And what I discovered is the best way to do it is to have systems, systems where you can do things over and over and over again. And so Sales Mountain is a systematic approach to selling. And you view sales like as if you were a mountain climbing guide, and your job is to lead the prospect up the sales mountain into what I call the sweet spot, and that's where the prospect is ready to make a buying decision. So it's taking the prospect through a step-by-step process, and as a person selling to someone else or persuading somebody else, you want to know your presentation from the beginning to the end, forwards and backwards, every step in the process. And most people don't know sales at that level, and they haven't had to learn it at that level. Because in the old model, if you showed up and took enough action, even if you had a bad presentation, you could still make it just by taking enough action. And in the new way of doing things, you have to take great action, but you also have to have a great skill set. So it's massive action combined with a great skill set and knowing your sales process forwards and backwards, inside and out.
I think that's great. And so tips on even starting up the mountain.
So the first step in Sales Mountain is lead generation. And the purpose of generating a lead is to generate a lead. And what that means is, if I was coaching you, any of you listening right now one-on-one, I would want to know, share with me, what are your lead generation systems? And you want to have multiple lead generation systems online and offline. And all the lead generation system is designed to do is to produce a lead. And one of the biggest mistakes that people make is when they're in lead generation, they start delivering their presentation. And that creates a repelling energy. So we just look at lead generation standalone, and the next step is appointment setting. And the purpose of setting an appointment is to set an appointment. And again, it's a standalone process. We don't actually sell the product or service until we actually deliver the presentation. So the whole thing is mapped out step by step. And in doing this, the other steps real quickly are trust and rapport, identify customer needs, share the benefits, and then now we're in the sweet spot. That's where we close. That's where we ask for the order.
And so what's the time frame? Like in this economy, Eric, from the beginning of when you lead gen to actually getting an order, has the time frame changed where it's a slower process, more relational?
For me, it hasn't changed. And for any of you wondering, you know, what should your timeline be, you know, the shorter sales cycle is the Girl Scout selling Girl Scout cookies, and you walk up to them at the grocery store and they say, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies? And that's the whole sales cycle. In other models, it could be 18 months or longer. So you got to find in your industry what is the length of the sales cycle, and it just really depends on your product or service.
You talk a lot about free gifts for the listeners. Well, first, and I want to talk about it not from what you're going to be offering, because I know you're going to give our listeners the free gifts, but in the sales cycle, from a lead generation into bringing them into a client, there's a lot of, you know, free gifts and things that are used. There are different techniques for sales. Talk a little bit about tips that our listeners can be using now and they should be thinking about.
Well, when it comes to lead generation, we want to attract our target market to us. And the best way that I know how to attract somebody to me is to offer them something for free that they perceive as valuable. And this is something that I learned from a marketing mentor of mine, Jay Abraham. And so for all of you, think about what types of information is your target market looking for before they make a buying decision. And then if you can deliver them free information, then you can attract them to you and then take them through your sales process. So that could be a free consultation. It could be a free report, a free conference call, a free seminar, a free audit. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And this, by the way, is the number one lead generation concept that I've ever come up with, is to offer something for free in exchange for receiving the person's contact information.
I would totally agree. So what's your gift? All the listeners, how can they get some free gifts and hear more about what you're doing?
Well, for anybody on the line right now that's enjoying what I'm sharing, I have a page that I put up for another product that I did, but I'd like to offer it to all of you. The web page, it's ericloffholm.com/Dan and Bill with two L's, B-I-L-L. Eric Loffholm, E-R-I-C, Eric with a C, L-O-F like Frank, H-O-L-M like Mary.com/Dan and Bill. And when you land on that page, there's a free 17-page report on the sales mountain, which Laurel and I talked about for about 3 minutes, and I go in-depth on that process if you want to learn that. And then I have a four-week webinar that I normally charge $495 for on the sales mountain. And as a listener of Laurel's, if you go to that page, I will give you that four-week webinar for free. So if you like what you're hearing and you want to go deeper with this information, there's two great free resources for you.
That's great. Now, before we let you off the phone, then we got to share some closing tips. And I know we're just kind of, you know, getting to a lot of different topics and getting some, I just want our folks to get some action and movement. So what are some closing tips for those that are sitting on a bunch of sales, they just can't bring it home?
Well, the first thing about closing, it comes down to mindset. And that starts with embracing selling and then embracing closing. The next step is you want to reverse engineer your close. And the close portion of the presentation, it's at the end of the presentation where you're asking for commitment, asking them to buy from you, asking for the credit card, and you want to reverse engineer that process. And that means you look at the close from the back of the presentation when they actually give you the credit card or sign the contract. And then you say, what's the step before that? What's the step before that? What's the step before that? So you reverse engineered your close, and then you want to write down your close word for word. And in doing that, it's going to require some discipline. When you write down your close word for word, it's going to force you to get really clear on what your offer is. And clarity is one of the key aspects of selling. Then the last tip, when you're selling one-on-one, it's very simple. You ask them to purchase from you at the end, and you're silent, because part of the language of influence is silence. And I close every one-on-one sale. I get to the end, I ask them to buy from me, and then I'm silent. So those are a couple of quick tips. Although they were very quick, any one of those could boost your close ratio by 10% or more.
Those are great. Now, you have an idea that's called the $250,000 idea. What's that?
$250,000 ideas. It's the number one way that I know how to grow a business in this economy, and that's collaboration. And so here's my tip for all of you. Think about who you could collaborate with, create a joint venture or a strategic alliance, make a laundry list of all of those people. And last year I did that, and I came up with a list of 132 people that I could collaborate with. And I looked at my list, and I said, there's no way I can build deep, meaningful relationships with that many people. So I said, I'm going to find the top four on my list. And so here's your assignment tonight. Make a list of all the people you can collaborate with. Identify your top four, and then reach out to them and set up a coffee meeting or a lunch or a phone call and share with them that you're looking to grow your business through collaboration and ask them if they would have an interest in working with you in some way. So last year, out of my list of top four, Laurel was one of my top four. So I reached out to Laurel and said, would you have an interest in coming together and collaborating? And she said yes. And so that's part of why we're on the radio show today. But we've also teamed up and done numerous seminars together ever since we had that conversation. Mm-hmm. There's a spirit of collaboration in the marketplace right now like I've never seen before, because collaboration solves a problem of how do you grow a business with limited resources, or if my business is down or I'm short on cash. And when you collaborate, you can create new business and in many cases do it with $0 out of pocket.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, Eric, give them the site again for where they can get some free gifts from you, learn more about you, and if they want to connect and hire you as a coach, they can get all that done.
Yeah, just head on over to ericloffholm.com. And then it's /Dan and Bill, and there's an opt-in page right there. Just enter in your information if you want the free webinar or the free report. They're terrific tools that really help you. If you connected with a message today and you want to learn more, you'll absolutely love those free tools.
All right. Eric, thanks for being on the Laurel Langmire Show. I appreciate all your insights, and I know you've given a lot of great information that our listeners can move ahead and make some money.
Fantastic. Laurel, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So again, go to ericloffholm.com/Bill and Dan to hear more from Eric. We have been in, I said, collaboration for years and years in a variety of relationships. And right now, again, those of you within a couple hundred mile radius or just want to get on a plane, it's pretty cheap to fly into Vegas right now. In fact, I know you can stay at the Trump Towers in their suites for like $90 a night, normally like $500. So you can tell where the economy is. Vegas is like easy to get to. You should come join us. You fly tomorrow. We'll be there from 8 to 1.
And Laurel, actually, just to correct real quick, that was ericloffholm.com.
Oh, good.
/Dan and Bill.
Okay. Thank you. And then the website also, Ken, while you are supporting out there, is where do they go to register for our one-day event in Las Vegas?
They can do that directly
from liveoutloud.com.
Yep, just liveoutloud.com. And what I'll do is
right,
I will also post a link in the show notes to send them directly over to our event page.
All right, perfect. Let's go back to some news. I have a couple of the points we're going to talk about. Google plugs for PC to phone calling into email. Google is adding a free email feature that will persuade more people to cut the cords on their landline phones. I think that'll become a thing of the past. We'll have to add that to our fourth thing. We keep saying that radio, TV, bookstores, landlines, I mean, what else? It's all going to be extinct in about 3 to 5 years. The service unveiled Wednesday enables the U.S. users of Google Gmail service to make calls from microphone-equipped computers to telephones virtually anywhere in the world. All calls from U.S. and Canada are free through at least the end of this year. That undercuts most of the PC-to-phone services. Skype, which charges 1.2 to 2.1 cents per minute in the U.S., it also threatens to overshadow any of the free PC-to-phone calling services called Magic Talk that was just introduced by Vocaltech Communications. So Skype, Google, and many of the services have been offering free computer-to-computer for years. Google hopes to make money on its PC to phone service by charging 2 cents or more per minute for international calls. So stay tuned. I mean, Google is a conglomerate. It's going to just keep adding and taking over more and more. And now let's talk about the internet. It's had more than a decade net neutrality, which is a commitment to not discriminate in the transmission of internet content. It has been ruled tactically understood that internet users and providers, by internet users and providers alike. In April, though, the court ruled that the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has no regulatory authority over internet service providers. For many people, this puts the status quo in jeopardy. Without the threat of enforcement, might service providers start shaping the flow of the traffic in ways that threaten online neutrality, and which is new and established websites are equally accessible, and sites rise and fall on the basis of their ability to track viewers. So this is now in jeopardy. Google and Verizon put in a proposal that offers a commitment to net neutrality accompanied by limited enforcement authority of the FCC in cases where the violations are suspicious. The proposal is a compromise between the desire of content providers to ensure that all content streams are treated equally and that of access to providers maintain the flexibility to manage their networks. So many internet users have objected to the proposal, complaining that the formulation of net neutrality leaves too many loopholes. Ken, I'm going to bring you into the call because you have more than a passion for this.
Absolutely.
What's really, like everyone listening, all our users that are listening today, what's the threat? What's really the bottom line for those that are listening?
Let's break it down. You know, over the past couple of years, what's really happened is Google has been really the conglomerate that stands behind net neutrality, kind of standing up against the telecom companies like Verizon and AT&T. What net neutrality is at its core is that no pipe, you know, anyone that provides the internet pipe to your house, they essentially can't regulate what sites come up in what order, what sites come up in what speed. They don't get to manage their network that way in kind of a discriminatory fashion. So what this means is really the proposal with Verizon, a lot of people are doubting Google's intent as we're looking at this, because really it puts no restrictions at all around mobile internet, which has become the largest used area of internet, and it's probably going to continue growing at an astronomical rate. Most people are going to be surfing via their mobile devices, those kinds of things. So this puts essentially no regulation or restriction at all around mobile internet, and it also has some pretty large loopholes, even in the home service provisions, that really would allow the telecoms the type of control that they've never had before. So for anyone that does pay attention, especially entrepreneurs who are doing things like video content, audio content, multimedia, those are the type of things that the telecoms really want to either choke out or, you know, put a huge surcharge on them for that type of broadcasting, for that kind of downloading. So this is their way of you know, trying to add those types of caps.
And so what do entrepreneurs need to really be watching for? Where do they continue to follow this conversation online? Follow it at Google?
You can follow it at a lot of different places at this point. Really, keeping an eye on the news is a huge place. But what you really want to be doing is writing your representatives at this point. You know, the question becomes, which is the lesser of two evils? Would we prefer to have the government regulate a little bit more, have the FCC have that type of power, and be the ones to you know, keep that in order? There are a lot of people who disagree with that point. Or do we want these telecommunications companies like Verizon, Google, AT&T to have the final say over it? So keeping an active voice and keeping your representatives and local government aware of these issues will be huge when these elections come to pass.
Absolutely. Wow. Good actions. So, can anything else to wrap that up?
This is a story that has actually caused quite a bit of, obviously, image damage for Google, who's come out. You know, their informal catchphrase is, don't be evil. And a lot of people see this as kind of a downright evil act to try and to try and rule the internet in this way. So, you know, they've taken a huge image hit for this. And politically, it's interesting because this is an election year, and it's very unlikely that a lot of representatives are going to want to touch an issue that's controversial around that time. So they may have done a lot of damage to their image without a lot of benefit. We'll have to see how this all plays out.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. I appreciate you being on the show and jumping in on that.
Thanks, Laura.
The rest of you, you're listening to the Laura Langmuir Show. Same time, same channel every week, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time. We'll be airing live. So join us. And if you have insights and stories that you'd like us to air and have conversations about, again, email Laurel at laurelradio@liveoutloud.com. And I will be right back to you. Look forward to your calls, your conversations, and we'll talk next week.